Word of Faith Ministries, establishing the kingdom of God and changing lives with the message of faith and the grace of Jesus Christ with a practical, biblical, and balanced teaching you can trust.
Father, we love you and we thank you, and we glorify you and we bless you. Father, thank you for your truth and thank you for your word. Thank you for the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and we give you the glory, Lord, for you are good and your mercy endures forever. In the powerful name of Jesus, thank you for your presence through the third person of the Deity. And thank you that you help us and teach us. In Christ Jesus, amen. Okay, continuing in our series, the person of the Holy Spirit. Notice how the Lord Jesus and his word are one. In John 1, in the beginning, John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. He was in the beginning with God. So he and his Word, all things because of him, were done. Through who? The Lord Jesus. So he, and the Lord Jesus, the Word, and the Lord Jesus are one. Who understands that? Amen. The Word and the Lord Jesus are one. The Holy Spirit then is here in this sixth dispensation to what? To glorify the Word of God, or to glorify the Lord Jesus. The way that he glorifies the Lord Jesus, as he is not necessarily here present, or he's present through the body of Christ, through us, through the church, but he's here to glorify. Therefore, also the Word of God. Hallelujah. He is here to glorify the Word of God. Amen. So then, the Holy Spirit does not move from Genesis to Revelations. If preachers were to understand that, there would not be heresies in the body of Christ. There would not be extremes. Amen. There wouldn't be one believing one thing, others believing another. Simply, all would be in one accord. Another thing, if we understood this, if we truly understood the Holy Spirit in us, we would be directed and guided and learn. Of course, now, none of us are born necessarily understanding everything when we're born again. As you know, we are born again in the Spirit. And it's a process of renewing our minds. But one of the things that I've noticed over the years is that there can be people who can spend years, and they will not change. They'll believe their own thing. They'll bring quote unquote new ideas. Now, I didn't come here to speak wrongfully of others, but just very quickly, I've been in Phoenix, and I'll just say in one occasion, and I've even spoken with pastors. I was at a certain place in Phoenix, and I was with this pastor, and he said, speak to these pastors of this denomination or of this group of where he is affiliated to about the position of the pastor and leadership, the importance of leadership. But it was uncomfortable to be speaking because I don't know what they're used to, but at least if I'm sitting down in a certain place, I'm invited to the organizations that I pertain to listen to someone, and I accept to go there and sit down. Do you think I'm going to be interrupting the one delivering the word? Of course not. I wanted to say, no, this isn't, oh, but this and this and the other. And in this occasion, these are pastors who, I asked the one that was invited, he said, why did you bring me? I asked in front of them. Because they knew everything, according to them. And they were very behind doctrinally speaking. They thought that they were like Job when in illness came, or like the thorn of Paul. So there are people who simply, if you hear of the Spirit of God truly, you'd notice that what he was speaking on was in line with the Word of God. They weren't heresy. For that reason, you have the Holy Spirit. Nowadays, there's a lot of heresy. Here's an example of this. When I came to the Lord, and I think I've already shared this, when I came to the Lord, what abounded the most was religion. And religion is this. It's simply human race seeking a relationship with God in their own merits or in their own way. They will not take into account what the Bible says. Forget about the Holy Spirit. They won't even take into account what the Bible says. They'll take their own decisions. And they'll seek God in their own merits. And that's religion. Do you think those people hear from the Spirit of God if they're truly believers born again, let's say? Believers in Christ Jesus, do you think they're going to hear from the Lord? No, they're not going to. Here's another example. And there's a lot of information to give. But just another example so you can understand religion. Chapter 16 of Acts, verse 17. And I'm going to mostly focus on just the subject, our today's subject. Now while Paul waited for them in Athens, his spirit was provoked within him when he saw that the city was given over to idols. Therefore he reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews and with the Gentile worshippers, and in the marketplace daily with those who happened to be there. Then certain Epicurean and Stoic philosophers encountered and said to him, what does this blabber want to say? Others said he seems to be a proclaimer of foreign gods, because he preached to them Jesus and the resurrection. And they took him and brought him to the Areopagus, which is which would be like the tribunal there, saying, may we know what this new doctrine is of which you speak. A characteristic of religion is this: they want to know something new and don't even dominate what they already know. They don't practice it. For you are bringing some strange things to our ears, therefore we want to know what these things mean. For all the Athenians and the foreigners who were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing. Then Paul stood in the midst of the Areopagus and said, the supreme tribunal there, and said, men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are very religious. I observe that you are very religious. For as I was passing through and considering the objects of your worship, I even found an altar with this inscription: to the unknown God. To the unknown God. Therefore, the one whom you worship without knowing, him I proclaim to you. To the unknown God. To whom you worship. What does this mean? They didn't have a relationship with God. And if they didn't have a relationship with God, notice, to the unknown God. If they didn't have a relationship with God, there was no faith. There was no love. Therefore, God does not receive that prayer. Because to the unknown God, unknowing means having intimacy. So these people did not have intimacy with the true God. Can you see it? To whom you worship without knowing him, I proclaim to you. The point here is, God did not receive those prayers. How do you know? There's no faith. If you do not know something or someone, there's no intimacy with the Lord. Religion, then, I say this to give you a practical, simple definition of religion. Religion, then, is man seeking human. Are you mature when I say men? Because now it's, and what about women? It's human beings seeking a relationship with God, but according to their own way. Going back to the context, well, what abounded then was religion, what we call traditions or legalism, going to by the book. What is that? When there are doctrines where they say, oh, Jesus was poor, therefore you have to be poor because the Lord was poor. If a person comes and goes through a disgrace, they say, oh, we're suffering like Job. If they're sick, they say, oh, this is Paul's thorn. That's what I refer to with religion, with tradition of man. But after, now I'm going to share this. This point is mine. In what concerns me, and I say that because when I started noticing, perhaps this was already prevalent, but I noticed it. I started seeing it. Around 2010, another type of religion started to surge. And it started to surge supposedly to counteract the religion we had already had for centuries. Do you know all that about votes for poverty and things of the sort? They come from years ago. If you've studied something of history, ever since the first founders of the church passed, the ones that are spoken here in the Bible, after this, people who started preaching the gospel, after those great men of God, those last apostles, after John, first to say, the last one who wrote Revelations, sometime after, the church started to move away and started to preach doctrines like that, votes of poverty. And centuries passed, and after those centuries of many years, entire denominations promoting votes of poverty and groups. Now, I'm guarding my mouth because I don't want to insult anyone. I'm not going against anyone. My point is not to go against any religious group or to criticize anyone, which is why I'm guarding my mouth. But there have been groups instead of certain religions or Christian denominations come small groups and they create their own denominations that from this group or this denomination, and they start preaching votes of poverty that, oh, we have to be poor. And what happened? The body of Christ went to another extreme. And I don't know if you understand this. What I'm going to say is, you just follow along. If you don't understand, pray. Have the Lord help to reveal this to you, because I need to flow. On this planet Earth, when it's about human race, people confuse races with ethnic groups. There's no such thing. There's only one race, human race. The rest are ethnic groups. Ethnico comes from the Greek ethnos, which means nations or people. So there are groups. And I could tell you today, right now, when you speak of white people, there are, of Europeans, there's subdivisions of them. There are different types. No, that comes from Genesis. But I'm not going to touch on that point. So over history, human history, man, human beings, as you know, there is nothing perfect. Let's say there are certain cultures. Let's see if you understand this. If you're going to compare, how many of you understand that? You have to compare oranges with oranges and apples with apples. You cannot compare apples with oranges. That wouldn't be the best. So, I'm going to stay with the human race on the planet Earth. Of course, it would be dumb to deny that there are cultures that are better than others. Better than others because they have a better economic model. They have better order in their countries as they live than compared to other groups. Between us as humans, comparing oranges to oranges, as to say. But once you compare it to God, that's something else. Once you compare it to the kingdom of God, that's something else. God is perfect. The kingdom of God is perfect. There is no imperfection in Him. But when we come to us as human beings do something good, but if they don't have God, if they don't have the Word, it go to extremes. Again, I'm just going to say this. Do you know how socialism was born? Out of extremes of capitalism. Although capitalism is something very good, and it's more aligned with the Bible and with biblical principles. When there was extremes, then people start rising up. But instead of bring a half point, no, they go to other extremes now. I say this, I'm saying this, so you can understand how heresies fall in and misunderstandings. After the first preachers, after the time of grace came with the Lord Jesus, people started preaching poverty. They forgot 2 Corinthians 8 verse 9, what the Apostle Paul wrote. And he said, "You have known grace from our Lord Jesus, that out of love for you, he became poor, being rich, that with his poverty, we could become rich." All of these things, they stopped being spoken of and preaching. And again, I am just reminding you. I have to give you information so you can understand everything that I have to speak on. When the church started, when the body of Christ started in Acts, they did not have a Bible, as you and I have it. What is it that they studied then? The law, the prophets, and the Psalms. Amen. That's what they studied. But now that they had the Holy Spirit and the disciples of the Lord Jesus, disciples, as you know, they started in the book of Acts, the 11 except Judas. After that, they put another one to replace Judas. They started multiplying. The disciples now, the people started studying. The first covenant or the Old Testament, but with now a bit more revelation of the New Testament, meaning all the sacrifices, the animals that were killed in the Old Testament, the sheep, they were all representation of the Lord Jesus. And nevertheless, in the first years, the first decade, first 10 or 15 years, this is just an approximate number, nothing precise, it wasn't the best. It still hadn't been completely understood up until the Lord brought up the Apostle Paul. Let me share this with you in the Bible. Go with me to Galatians. Remember, this is the Holy Spirit that glorifies the Word of God. Glory to God. Galatians 2, verse 11. By this time, Paul was already a well-recognized man, and the rest of the disciples as well, Peter. Nevertheless, I want you to see something here. 2:11. Now when Peter had come to Antioch, Paul writing this. Notice what he said. I withstood him to his face because he was to be blamed. For before certain men came from James, he would eat with the Gentiles. For before certain men came from James, he would eat with the Gentiles, James being a Jew. But when they came, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing those who were of the circumcision. Do you understand this? If not, tell me to raise up your hand to explain this a bit better. You know what this is referring to? Just a few, not all. Do you all understand to explain what this is referring to? No, not all understood. How? The opportunity is being presented for you to say, to be honest, what's happening here is that Peter was Jewish, James is a Jew, those who came with them were Jew, but they would sit down with the Gentiles. Oh, for the law of Moses, it was wrong, but years had passed by this point where the church had been established. Peter was no longer reading or teaching Judaism or law. Nevertheless, he was scared of those of the circumcision, and the rest of the Jews also played the hypocrite with him, so that even Barnabas was carried away with their hypocrisy. But when I saw that they were not straightforward about the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter before them all, if you, being a Jew, live in the manner of Gentiles and not as a Jew, why do you compel Gentiles to live as Jews? We who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles. In other words, you see, the church was already established. They were already preaching. They didn't have the whole Bible, but they were already preaching. They were no longer preaching the law of Moses. Nothing wrong with the law. We saw it last time. The law is just and holy. What was the issue with the law? That the law produced condemnation, because the law was given on behalf of God. I'm specifically speaking, not the whole Testament, what we know as the Old Testament. This is specifically the rights of the law of Moses. Amen. Are you understanding? The rights, for example. But there are things here, I'm getting ahead of myself. Help me, Father. But there are things here. If I touch on that, I'm not going to advance. These are of the rights of the law. But so a moment ago, I told you that in 2010, I started to notice something, if you remember. That there was other types of religion apart from the religion that already existed. And that religion is that false grace. Now, this is another extreme, and both extremes are wrong. But this is why I'm telling you, never, 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 not a single man, not a single man of God, this is just in general to all believers, not someone who just preaches. No one should move away if we have the word here. And we have the Holy Spirit. So then why are there so many who move away? Because there are so many wrong interpretations. As I said, remember, there were people. Remember this. There were people who went to extremes. I spoke in the natural here. And doctrines came. Socialism, communism. Out of extremes of capitalism and things of the sort. Other doctrines, extremes. The issue is that the church went through the same thing and has gone through the same thing, and the same thing continues to happen. Wrong interpretations of the law. Perhaps not all are going to agree 100%, but I'll tell you something. There are churches nowadays preaching a terrible liberalism. There are churches where both pastors, these two pastors are married and say, oh, what's so wrong? It's because they're both men. Yeah, and you hear them talk, and they'll speak of accepting and of love and of this or the other. But for example, nowadays, if a father tells their children, you're wrong, you know what they say? Oh, you're condemning me. You're judging me. Isn't that right? Meaning, bringing correction is, you're judging me. Amen. If a person gives a testimony of their life and gives good testimony, biblical testimony, you can hear that the heart of that person testifies the good that God has been with them. Then other people say, oh, I feel bad because they condemn me when brother speaks of healing, because then I get sick, and last week I was very sick and I use medication still. You see, those are extremes, and those are the things that we cannot tolerate in the church. That's where maturity comes in. Now, the Lord brought up the Apostle Paul, because here we see. Book of Galatians here, by this time, no one knows exactly when. You can look it all up. I don't believe everything that the internet says. I don't care. Artificial intelligence or whatever. I don't really see that stuff, because nothing exact. And the bad thing with those sites is that they think that they know everything. But the book of Galatians, the body of Christ by this time, around more than a decade, perhaps two decades, ever since it was founded. And what was happening here is there were people who were still preaching Judaism. I refer to the rites of the law. Now, I'll give you a good interpretation of the Bible. For example, false grace preaches everything about giving or tithing, everything that is honoring God, reading, praying, going to church. They'll say, no, that those are works. Yeah, they're works. The only reason, and here's where you have to differentiate. If the people do it to win the favor of God, they're dead works. But if you do it in obedience, they're works of faith. And that's a big difference. Do you know why so many Christians are poor? It's because they've stopped believing this. And they've used the grace of God as an excuse. Now, I told you a moment ago, sometimes I talk with pastors of other places, and I've spoken with pastors of other countries, and I've been in certain places. And in these places that I mentioned a moment ago, one of the things that many of these pastors said that they were disagreeing when we spoke on prosperity is they say, oh, it's because on the internet, back then it was television, now it's the internet. So-and-so said and mentioned the name of a person that I know and know them personally. But that's the issue. We cannot stop preaching the truth because there are people that are going to other extremes. For example, nowadays, there are many apostles. I don't know if you noticed. Nowadays, surprising, everyone is an apostle. This man, I know him, he presented himself and said, Apostle so-and-so. He himself called himself an apostle. I said, and you? Who are you? And who are you? Me? I'm Brother Hughes. You understand, Brother Hughes? Nowadays, if a man has two or three churches, there are two or three churches under him, oh, he's an apostle. And there are some that are preaching some things in the area of prosperity. Now, biblical financial prosperity, it's true, and the financial plan of God is called tithings, offerings, and here's another one, ready? Called being a good administrator of what God has given you. That's it. And I give you my word, you will prosper. Amen. That's the financial plan of God. But it's not my subject for today. What I'm trying to say is there are many heresies. But if you have the word here, if you have the Holy Spirit, you will not move away from that. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Just remember something. I don't know if I want to go there. I just have so much information to give. First John 4 verse 1. Now, am I missing something of what I was speaking on, those who are taking notes? No? Okay, so I'm going good. First John 4 verse 1. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God. The word here, test, means judge or examine. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. But this you know, the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come is the flesh, is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist. There will be people who will say, oh no, there are full denominations who are even denying the virgin birth of Jesus. But this expression here, every spirit that confesses that Jesus has come, means to glorify the finished works of God, or the finished works of Jesus, his birth, not just the virgin birth here on this earth, but his whole work, everything that he has done. Therefore, you will reach and glorify the word of God. So test all spirit. Doesn't matter who said it. Hey, who is that that's there? Who's the one that's there? What is that? Remember, in one of our sessions that we had of the Spirit of God, Bible says that we have to judge the prophecies. Judge doesn't mean to criticize. You'll hear, because there are times where it can be for the whole congregation. Other times, perhaps it's not for you necessarily, but you're not going to put it in lower esteem. So with that idea in mind, I hope you're following along. Nowadays, I'll tell you what I do. I personally, this is just an example. This is what I've guarded myself. I don't look at social media. And the only reason is I try to live what I preach. Look, doesn't matter how much you confess the word, how much you believe it, the Bible says that you have to guard your heart. Guard your heart means you have to guard what you're hearing and what you're seeing and what you're speaking. In reality, what you're speaking, simply if you guard what you hear and what you put inside of you, what comes from your mouth will be a product of what truly you're putting in your heart. You understand? People laugh at me. So someone even said, I put this in my status. And I said, don't you live here in Arizona? I misunderstood as state. Why don't you put anything in your status? And I thought, what is this guy talking about? I say this in avoiding to seeing what everyone's putting constantly, because then the devil doesn't have anything to play in my mind with. And they focus on the word of God. Amen. Apart from the fact that I don't have the time for it. You understanding? And you become more sensible to the word of God, to the voice of God, because it doesn't matter how much faith you say you have. I've heard people say that they have a lot of faith, and when something happens, they fall apart like a cheap suitcase. They start crying, they get frustrated, literally crying, anxiety attacks and things like that. I'm not making fun of anyone if any of you have gone through that, but there's a reason. You want to see why? Thank you for one amen. Just with one, I can show you. 1 John 4, verse 18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. The word torment here means punishment, those attacks. Again, I'm not making fun of anyone who, if any of you have gone through this, please be mature. I went through this years ago. I know it. It's because you don't understand me, Brother Hughes. Of course I understand you. I perfectly understand you. I went through those terrible spirits of depression. And depression eventually leads you to living a life of fear. But he who fears has not been made perfect. Has been made perfect in love. Has not been made perfect. That means has not matured in the love of God. Another way of saying it, what does all this mean, Brother Hughes? What this means is the following. You have not received, you do not have a revelation of how much God loves you. Therefore, it would be very difficult for you to love someone else. You haven't received a revelation of how much God loves you. And you will not receive a revelation. The truth is, it's very difficult spending time in other things except in the Word of God. That is the reason that we come to church. That's the reason, although people nowadays, modernists say, we don't need to go to church. Everything is through the internet. Up until I see here at least two verses in the Bible that tell me that up until then, Some of you are going to remember this little hymn. This work shall not be finished. Now, some of you don't know what that is, and I'm sorry for you older people. Only me. Some of you just look at me like, what even is that? You understand? For that reason, you just fall in panic. That's why you don't sleep at night. I'm not criticizing you and I'm not judging you. I'm trying to help you. But that's why at night you're just twisting and turning. You're constantly thinking and thinking and thinking in what you don't have, in what you haven't achieved, in what you're lacking. Instead of grabbing from here of what living inside of you, in your spirit, is love, joy, hallelujah. Amen. From there. But you see yourself in your own limitations. You see yourself in the flesh, in your body, in what you don't have. So what's going to happen? You're going to doubt.
The word of God says in Romans 10, 9 through 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For in the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. If you have not received Jesus Christ, you have not been born again. Therefore, you have to take the next step. I am not speaking about a religion or changing your religion. I am speaking about you receiving Jesus as Lord and Savior. I invite you to make this confession with me. God, in heaven above, I come before you to receive the gift of life, to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. I believe that you raised him from the dead. I believe he is alive and he reigns. Jesus, I give you my life and I invite you into my heart. From now on, God, I can call you Father. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for receiving me as your child. Now, if you have said this prayer, you have been born again. Welcome to the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. Welcome to God's family. And remember, with all thy getting, get understanding. The word says in 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we walk by faith, not by sight.
Do you have any questions regarding this teaching? Visit our website at mpfccc.org and click on the question section to submit your question for Pastor Ignacio Hughes.
The only reason is the following. It's because you have not understood how much God loves you. Period. And you will not understand it as long as you spend time on other things except on the Word of God. Do you know that God does not require many things from you? God requires this, this, and that, and the other. In the last denomination I was in, a man, a very kind brother in Christ, he's also in heaven. He preached 10 things that God required. And just rites of the laws of the law of Moses. My God, by the fourth or fifth requirement, but by the time he was on the fifth, I had already forgotten the first four. God requires one thing. Do you know what that is? He requires you to believe in him. Listen to what I'm going to tell you. So those kind, smooth brains of yours, of not grabbing one extreme or another, I'll tell you right here. If you understand it differently, that's on you. I'm responsible of what I say. I'm not responsible of how you understand it. Okay, God does not require that you read your Bible. God does not require you to pray. God does not require you to give. God does not require you to come to church or to serve with excellence. All God requires is that you believe. Therefore, when you believe the word. You're going to come to church. You're going to give. You're going to serve with excellence. You're going to seek him because you believe what he says here in his word. Simple as that. Not a single idiot is going to come. So some people would tell me, oh, well, Brother Hughes, Brother Pastor, I want to talk with you. Okay, that's fine after the service. Right here. I want to talk with you. I heard the stupid brother so-and-so. Now, of course he didn't say that. And I heard When he said, and this is how he told me, I said, "And where did you listen to that, sister?" There are YouTube. Not YouTube, YouTube. On the internet. Because Sister Doubtful sent me through WhatsApp. Just with that, you know. Some of you look at me like, "What's so wrong with that? What's so wrong with that?" Because some of you talk that way. But anyways. What I was saying is, it doesn't matter how many years you spend, or we told you this, or guided you that praying in tongues is for today. No. Sister believed to that idiot that was on the internet because he said that. Because he had 200,000 views or something like that. That's today's issue. So why does Brother Hughes continue preaching the same thing? Ever since he started preaching faith and who we are in Christ in the year 2001 in Mesa, Arizona, as the itinerant teacher, do you know what that is? One who travels. As an associate pastor with Brother Nunez years ago, who is now in heaven. Amen. And then as a pastor here, continuing to travel still, as an itinerant teacher, why have I not changed? Because I've let the Holy Spirit help me, and I've used it not as just a tale of, "Oh, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit, oh, the Holy Spirit, oh, the Holy Spirit." No, I respect Him. He lives inside of me, and I honor Him to help me to stay in a biblical balanced teaching. And well understood. And I've seen people go to other extremes. And years pass. And the years pass. And I see them. And cutting my hair. No, I don't paint my hair. No, this is my hair color. But I have some gray hairs. Perhaps you can't see it, but I have some gray hairs. And when Nubia's cutting my hair, she can see them. The years pass. If I let my beard grow, I look like a skunk. And I've seen people change. One's going to the world, others falling away. There's cold and lost. Why? You know why? Because they've left this. They stopped having a relationship with the Lord. You have more relationship with their phones. With their iPads. And some have used freedom. Yeah, the grace of God, if you understand it, will bring you freedom. Never debauchery. Debauchery is freedom. And you'll understand faith better and walk through faith better. And you'll start saying, "By the stripes of Jesus, I was healed. By what He did. Oh, glory to God. By what He has done." You see how it's easier? You remove yourself from the equation. In other words, not because of what you did, but because of what He did. So the devil cannot condemn you. And if the devil comes and says, "Yeah, but in the morning you've argued with your husband. Yeah, but in the morning you argued with your wife. Yeah, but in the morning you said this to your children. In the morning you got mad." Very simple. Yes, it's true, Lord, Mr. Devil. But I repented before my Lord God, and I proclaimed the name of Jesus, which cleanses all malice. Therefore, by the stripes of Jesus, I was healed. The devil has nothing to say because you point him towards the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Do you understand? Glory to God. So what is it that happened then? Because last time, before going there to Hebrews, very quickly, why do you think it's called the book of Hebrews? Now, I'm going to mention this. No one knows if it was the Apostle Paul or not. I believe it was the Apostle Paul, but no one really knows. And to not fall into arguments, I'll just say the author of Hebrews. Who, it's valid to say this, in my opinion, when you say "in my opinion," it's just that, it's your personal opinion. You're not saying "the Bible says," "the Holy Spirit revealed to me." It's just in my opinion, I believe it's the Apostle Paul. But since there's so many debates, others say yes, others say no, perfect, fine. To not fall into that, I'm just going to say the author of Hebrews. You know why he spoke on this? Why do you think it's called the book, the letter to Hebrews? Because it was directed to the Hebrews, and which is why it's in the only letter that you read that speaks of sacrifices, because it was the Hebrews or Jews who practiced that. And that's why he spoke of the tabernacle. He never said you're not going to find it in Galatians or in Corinthians, because they were of a different ethnic group. Spoke to the Hebrews. You understand? Now, I don't want to go back on my word, because a few weeks ago, we were in the house of the random family, and just talking there, spending a good time, drinking some coffee. I said, I know I have to speak a bit slower, because this way people can understand it better. It's as if I'm going back on my word, but I'm no longer going to say anything. Perhaps I'm going to say I'm directed by the Spirit of God. It's easier to say that. That's why I don't go back on my word. Lately, the joy has been winning me over. Now, Hebrews. The Holy Spirit will always back up Jesus, and you will never fall in heresy. Hebrews 7. This is the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Notice Hebrews 7. Hebrews 6 verse 20, before chapter 7, where the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus, having become high priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. 7. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings, and blessed him. To whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being translated king of righteousness, and then also king of Salem, meaning king of peace. This is Melchizedek. Now, I don't know if it was Jesus. Brother Copeland says that it was Jesus. Others believe that it was Jesus incarnate. Very possible. But just stay with me here. This is king of peace. This is the first time here in the New Testament. Why did he tell the Hebrews? It's the first time that justice and peace is connected. Because in the law of Moses, they were against each other. Why? Because man, under the law of Moses, sought, which is why the Lord gave the law, as I said a moment ago, wanting to come before God and say, you owe me salvation, you owe me blessing, because I've done this. It was their own righteousness. And not... Amen. Do you understand? Actually, that's what righteousness means. It just means being before God in the correct position, or a right standing with God. To be in right standing with God. Meaning, you and I in this moment are in the correct position with God. You could say, well, how am I in the correct position if I did this and that and the other? Because we're speaking of your spirit here. This is in the spirit. But if you dominate and understand that that's who you are in the spirit, eventually you will change your way of thinking and your way of acting. Are you understanding? Your way of acting, if you were born again, does not change your identity. Your way of acting does not change your identity. It's your identity that will change your way of acting eventually. With the word of God, you will say, I no longer need alcohol. I don't need pornography. I don't need drugs. I don't need to be with another woman. If you're a woman, you say, I don't need to be with another man because I have a new identity in Christ, glory to God. Which is why you renew your mind with the word of God. But if you're as Christians, putting pornography in your phones, looking at nonsense, your identity will be there. And why the Holy Spirit doesn't do anything, Brother Hughes? Because the Holy Spirit is not your maker of everything. He's your helper. Do you understand? The other way, you will walk in condemnation, saying, oh, I'm a sinner, I'm this, that, and the other. God is mad with me. And do it in your own merits. And you'll fall back to the same thing. You're understanding? But if you change your way of thinking, God only requires you to believe Him. What does God require? That you believe Him. That's it. If you believe Him, you will change the rest. If you believe and believe what His word says, if you just believe what His word says, by His stripes I was healed, glory to God. Now, but you won't be arguing. And you'll believe God. And he who sows abundantly will abundantly receive. Period. I believe, therefore I speak it. I hear from God. And the Spirit directs you. Again, what is the financial plan of God? Tithings, offerings, and being a good administrator of what God gives you. Now I'm going to let bombs drop. Here's another bomb. Man, when are you going to travel again, Brother Hughes? So when you say, I'll pay your next trip. Because people have asked me, which is why I mention it. So Brother Hughes, is it sin? Because again, your conscience quickly comes in. So it's wrong then that I should travel. They've been surprised when I say yes. Yes, if you're paying a house, you're paying a car, it's wrong, it's sin, it's unbelief, and it's not being a good administrator, spending your money on vacations and traveling and this and that. First, pay your debts. Amen. You have to be a good administrator, a good steward of what God gives you. Remember how I told you, extremes. I've been criticized. They've criticized me. Oh, you're of the prosperity gospel. You know what? I don't hide from it. I say yes. Oh, so your pastors of those of prosperity say yes. What do you think the gospel brings? In all areas, it brings prosperity. Not in everywhere, not just money. 3 John 1:2, beloved, I desire that you may prosper in all things, that you have health just as your soul prospers. This is the gospel. Yes, there are people who have gone to extremes. Again, let's talk the truth here. It's true. For example, there are people who criticize Brother Hughes. It's disgusting. You can't even put on your search Kenneth Copeland Teachings 2025 because so many people accusing him of things. You know what? He doesn't preach. No, he preaches a gospel of prosperity, but not in the sense that they say it. I just spoke with him this a week ago. We spoke for more than an hour. And I'll tell you, people criticize him because they don't know him. I know him. Not just from seeing him. I know him. I have a relationship with him. I talk to him through the phone. I know his heart. But again, the same thing happened to Kenneth Hagin, Fred Price. As spiritual children of them, they went to another extreme. They started preaching not prosperity, biblical prosperity, but started preaching materialism for their own good. There are, and there have been. There are people who are even cursing Papa Hagin Fred Price Sr. was one of the purest, most honest men, and is to this day. Brother Copeland is generous, a generous man. He has given and continues to give millions of dollars a year. He just isn't saying it. Just doesn't say it out loud. I tell him, why don't you say it, Dad? And he says, Ignacio? He's very calm when he talks. He says, of course, he told me in English, Ignacio, there are some people whom you can't reason with. I can't defend myself regardless of what I say. They'll always criticize me. He said, if they criticize Jesus, they're going to criticize me. I said, I mean, I don't care. I told him, give me permission. I'll record a video where I'll lash out on all those who lash out at you. And he said, no, son, walk in love. I said, okay, that's fine. I can't promise much, but I'll do my best. I just talked with him a few days ago. Yeah, it angers me more than him. Because people just speaking nonsense. But why don't they see what they give, what they sowed? His man once said, oh, Fred Price lived in a mansion in Palos Verdes. Even still, his family, his wife is still there. What, do you want Mom Betty in an asylum or something? And even then, they're still going to criticize him. Why didn't you see what that man sowed for years? He gave more than what the house is worth now. For that reason, they became so rich, because they sowed, believed, gave, spoke, and they spoke to what they gave. But some of their spiritual children and grandchildren, even to say it, started preaching materialism. It's very easy. These people just speak of money for their own benefit. Look, again, I once went with my pastor who was in heaven. Again, I went with him, and this church, you see, the bathrooms look like those of where look like a trucker's bathroom, like a prison bathroom. They were disgusting. Church falling apart, and there was a lot of people. I don't know. I thought, well, why does this pastor have the church like this? After that, he told us, you know what? I'm not going to take you out to eat, because my wife made food at home. I said, okay, that's fine. Oh, when we went to his house, all the contrary. The house was a palace. That's where the heart is. My pastor had a bit of trust. I mean, I asked him after that. He said, hey, why don't you put a bit more in the church? And, you know, bring down your salary, but assuming that he doesn't keep all of it. He said, oh, no, well. And they grab verses. They're saying that the laborer is worthy of his salary and participate in every good thing instructed. And it's true. They use some verses, but only for themselves. Now, you have to be careful, because, again, my mentors in the faith, I told you, live in tremendous houses. And that's fine. But you have to see what they gave for years. And the house where Brother Copeland lives is not really his. It's the ministry's. It's never his. He's not going to be able to sell it nor inherit it to anyone else. It's the ministry's. Some people live that way. Others, we say, what is mine is mine. What is the church's is the church. That's fine. Either or is fine. What I'm saying is, people attack the truth of the gospel only because they're not living it, or out of envy. If Brother Copeland or these people, you don't agree with them, just don't look at him. That's it. But that of making videos so that YouTube can then pay you, do you think that's of God? There are some people who I don't agree with them, but you know what? I'm not going to look at them, listen to them, nor am I going to put a stupid comment. The first thing they can say is, okay, why are you watching then? How many of you, when you were children who lived perhaps in AP, well, the channel 12 of Hermosillo. It's well, let's see if how young you are. When I was a kid, a couple of years ago, there was a man. I don't know if he's still alive or not. His name was Jorge Caubet, which was known as The Questioner. And he had a program called Rain Check, or The Hour of the Questionnaire. And he had him, a kid, and then a secretary. And it was sometimes different kids there with him. And he would make questions. And if they answered correctly, they'd give him treats, like the tickets for certain shows and things of the sort, or many different types of gifts. So one time I was at the house of a friend where I was actually doing homework. Normally I'd probably just cheat or copy off nerds. Youth, please don't do that. Don't say, "Oh, my pastor did it." That was Ignacio Hughes before Christ. Youth, please don't be doing that. So the data of my friends saying something there between doing homework and looking at the program, and he called the office of Channel 12, and he said, that's wrong. What that man is saying is wrong. They said something. It was the phones of back then, you know, landlines, not even cell phones, the landlines of a house. Remember? Is it because there are some people who don't know, which is why I'm asking. Kids of today are saying, what is that? What type of prehistory is this? Saying, "Oh no, but this and that," and he just started saying things and cursing them out. Turns out that it seemed as if they hung up on him, and he called back. And after that, I don't know if someone of us or the person said, he got mad and hung up, and told his wife, "What did he say? That if I don't like it, then why am I looking at the programmer to change the channel or turn off my television?" There we go. What's the same thing? Now with technology in your phone, if you don't like something, just get out of there. Swipe up. Amen. But don't be judging, because that judgment will be turned back to you. Amen. Some people that I don't agree with, I don't look at them. I'm about to close up. See, some of you need double blanket. Others are very comfortable. Chapter 7 of Hebrews. Oh, do you want to see that, or what I said of righteousness? Of the last part I shared. Psalms 107. Or Psalms 105. Psalms 85, verse 10. 85. Now, how many of you know that prophecies of what was going to come was said here? Many times they spoke it, the Spirit of Christ spoke through them. Mercy and truth, verse 10, have met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed. You see it? Verse 11, truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. Look at this. Truth shall spring out of the earth. Truth shall spring out of the earth. I don't have time to be saying everything, but I'll just say this very quickly. Truth shall spring out from the earth. What is that truth? The Lord Jesus, or the Word. Speaking of His birth, of His virgin birth. And also speaking when He's resurrected from the dead. Spring up from the earth. He is now the righteousness of God. You and I are the same righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. But He is the righteousness of God. Amen. Do you see it? Why? Because righteousness and peace were in conflict, because man tried to justify themselves before God out of their own merits. That's the only reason God gave the law. The law is not perverse or anything. We saw that. It's not perverse. It is not evil. What God had to give those high standards was that man would say, "Oh, I need a savior. I need a healer." Amen. Ah, so then what you and I do now, what faith does is believe, and what faith does is respond to God. That's what obedience is. Faith in action. Your obedience is just a response to God. You say, "Yes, Lord, I believe you." I just mentioned a moment ago, in case the devil twisted your mind. Well, my pastor said, it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter how I live, ha ha ha. He said that if I prayed or not, it'd be the same. He said that if I read my Bible or not, aha, it's the same because I'm under grace and God loves me the same. No, don't act like a fool. I said that God requires to believe. God does not require you. He does not require you to go to church. He does not require of you to pray in tongues. He doesn't require any of that. He requires you to believe. Once you believe, everything that I just said will come to you. It will be born out of your heart because you believe him. And when you believe and act on it, the laws of the kingdom start operating in your favor. When you believe, then the laws of the kingdom will start to operate in your own favor. The laws of sowing and reaping will come in your favor. How many of you have sown something? You've sown some type of seed. Last night you planted some beans. And today, did you have beans with cheese for breakfast? No. Some time has to go by. In that time, in the natural, what do? You take care of the crop. You remove other crops that are growing that you don't want there. You put fertilizer and water. You sow. You're sowing and you fertilize it. How? With your mouth. When it's spiritual, you say, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Glory to God. I lack nothing. And I had to say something. I'm running out of time here. For example, some of you, there's people who are listening, not you. Again, have gone to extremes when you hear me speak on politics. But you're so political, some of you. So you know, well, pastor speaks, but I've told you, you know what? When I speak of kingdom and government, I only read the headlines, take a few minutes, I inform myself correctly, but that's it. I give the information and that's it. But there are people in the right, now this is the right side, not the left, the right, and Christians especially, of all groups. They're so of the right that they're worried out of everything. I'll tell you something, you can't change a nation regardless of how much a good president, and I'm in favor of all of that. But some time will come, and then what? And then if you disagree with your governor, be it left, right, center, whatever, you disagree, cursing and speaking terribly of them and putting things on social media will not help. It will not help the country. It will not help the people. You can express what you disagree with without cursing them. And without worrying. Because if you believe, you believe, you will lack nothing. And if the country ends up falling, you will lack nothing. We speak it to speak what's wrong and to speak with the word of God so that others know, but not for your own benefit. Understand it. You know how you know if you have love of money? That if during the last administration here in this country, you were constantly complaining about everything that was expensive. Yeah, it was expensive, but that's all people spoke of, just Christians of faith. Brother Hughes, I listened to you on kingdom and government. Well, you didn't hear it because I said many times, we will lack nothing. The people suffer, not us believers. And people are more conscious of it. I'm not saying we don't understand and we shouldn't speak. No. But you have to be more careful. You have to be more conscious of this. Of the word. Of what God says. Or of the situation. Cursing will always increase. Now. I don't go to the other extreme as religion. Religion saying, oh, we shouldn't speak of anything. We shouldn't speak of politics. That's wrong. We should speak against it. But on the other side, constantly being worried. And hating people. You know what? I saw it. You know what they said of Mr. Biden? That he has cancer and you can see it. Even over our president, of everything that I love and respect him, I do not agree with his way of speaking, what he says on social media. And now, we are praying for Joe Biden. Who's believing that? First you curse him, and now a human curse in kingdom and government. We are praying for Mr. Biden that he accepts the Lord Jesus. You know what? After this, no condemnation. You know why? But I never cursed anyone. Many times I said in kingdom and government, even I told Nubia, you know what? I have an intuition here that Mr. Biden doesn't even know. When their cognitive functions are not right, they do not understand the harm. I know you told me one time when we were talking, why? Why is that? Because Mr. Biden has been a senator for more than 50 years. And if you see his records, even videos, he was a very centered man. He was even against open borders. And of giving money to illegal people. You can see those videos. Even in 2009 when he was a senator. Something happened. Now you can see. They controlled him. He didn't run the country. Now more things are coming out. But I have my conscience calm because I never hated him. I never spoke against him. I spoke ill of him. Understand this. You are not the judge of anyone, nor am I. Yep. We can speak of what's right and what's wrong with actions, with the word of God, not with people. This is specific to people because this is something specific of someone specific. Just a moment ago, I said, there are people who are going to heresies. There are people who speak extremes. Did I tell you of whom? Did I give you names? Even some time ago, I said, I didn't even give you a time or a name. I just said, I was in Phoenix. You don't know when it could have been. Could have been these few days. Did he tell you where, how many, which denomination, the pastor? Think of what happened and what is believed, the ideas, not the person. That's not on me. And these people on the internet attack Brother Copeland, attack people of faith, and curse them and make fun of him and speak terrible things and say those are Christians. Those are the Christians we have. They make fun, they say things of you. Without knowing. You and I have to be careful. You and I need to speak of what's wrong with the word of God. You and I were not called to judge anyone and to point the finger at anyone. Brother Hughes, this person said this, that, and the other. Yeah, you shouldn't do it. Amen? Don't imitate those people. Don't do that. Hallelujah. Mature and grow. And when you see that's wrong, it's wrong because the word of God says it. Yeah, in this last year, it was like a plague of ministers involved in sexual scandals. Some of them, I knew some of them. And pastors would call me and say, hey, did you see what happened? I said, yes. What do you say? Well, what's wrong is wrong, period, but I don't want to talk about it. You know it's wrong, right? Yep, well, that's all we're going to say. You call me for that? I once told someone, did you call me just to speak of this person or to greet me or something else? You know what he told me? He said, well, you're right. Honestly, I called you just to speak badly of that person. Do you think God, it would be pleasing to God to hear us speaking of that? It's very wrong, and it gives a bad example to the body of Christ. For that reason, we shouldn't do it. We should guard ourselves. Pray for the family of that man, for his wife and his children, for the church. That the Lord gives them peace. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm headed there, as his brother told me. Brother Hughes, I used to dislike the rich so much, and I'm headed there. You know why? I'll close up with this, a testimony. This is a good testimony. He started going to extremes and testimonies of cars and things, and that's fine. But this man, look at his testimony. He said, Brother Hughes, in 2017, 2018, I started listening to you on the internet. At the beginning, I didn't understand. I started watching a video after another, and driving for almost an hour from my house to my work. And I would listen on YouTube and on the website And we started with the app. First it was through YouTube. Ever since when do we have the app, Erica? A couple of years, right? Oh, we have a section on our website now called for our last Bible studies. Most of them are in audio format, not video. Oh, well, hey, I mean, it's free. Glory to God. You don't know the amount of people that watch. It's thousands and thousands of people. Not all give. Someone has to edit those videos. Someone has to give maintenance to the website. And this man told me, you know what, Brother Hughes? I was listening and studying that you would speak on. He didn't give me a name. He just I told my wife. One day the Spirit of God spoke to me very, very, very strongly and said, you have to pay off your debts quickly and make a covenant with the Lord. We made a covenant of no vacations, no nothing. You know what happened? When the pandemic came, many of his job, I think they didn't fire him, but they just put him on leave for a few months. But he had everything paid. Now I understand that prosperity is not just about houses and cars and things. Because, well, we owed it. And we were misusing money. And listening, I learned what true prosperity is. Yes, good testimony, but he told me. And then we learned to develop a relationship with God, praying more, seeking God more, and hearing the word and seeking God more, as you tell us. Our life started to change. That nowadays, my wife and I, my children, are in a greater fire for the Lord. And God has blessed us so much. And now in my job, I have more money than ever. He told me I bought a car, I paid it cash. And now comes the car cash. But first, he gave the testimony of how the Lord directed him and how his relationship with the Lord is stronger. I'm not against cars, understand it. God wants you stinky rich. But the first thing is to finance the kingdom. Glory to God, you won't be falling in heresies and being lost and cold. On the contrary, you'll be more in fire for the Lord. Amen. And his testimony is how his relationship with the Lord grew. His relationship grew. His faith grew. Hearing from God grew. The Spirit of the Lord. Jesus Christ, this is so good. Verse 8. Brother Copeland, we were talking on this. I'll tell you something funny. When he talks to me, he starts talking, and I just start running down, take out my Bible, and I said, hold on. He said, hold on. And he said, well, hurry up. Chapter 7. Verse 8. Hebrews 7:8. Here mortal men receive tithes, but there the holy place, the original King James. No, the King James. But there, the difference of there and here. Here is here, but there is over there. So there, the holy place. That farther on ahead, the true holy place here in the book of Hebrews. I don't know why, but now I just had an impression that we should study chapter by chapter the book of Hebrews. How many of you would like to come just to use a day of a week to read from 1:1 of the book of Hebrews? It's very good. We need it, don't we? We'll do it soon with the favor of God. Then Galatians and Just like that, when we least thought about it, we have the New Testament. But here, and that means when we receive the offerings here, notice again, but here mortal men receive tithes, ushers, and we receive the offerings here. But there, the moment that your offerings fall in that offering basket or do it electronically with your phone, the moment that you do that transaction, in that spirit of faith, the Lord receives your offerings and your tithings there in heaven. I mean, that's what this means. Mortal men, of whom it is witness that he lives. Now, I don't have time to go there, but you can read it. Chapter 9 speaks of the holy place, the true holy place. Moses did a tabernacle, earthly, a copy in what he could. Amen. Of the holy place, of the true holy place. I'm preparing you, because I believe I told Brother Raphael we're going to study on finances very soon. What did I tell you? True? I have the title somewhere there. The true biblical, something like that. True biblical prosperity, something like that. I even have it in English already. What was that? You don't even remember. It's best if I say nothing. Amen. Told Brother Rafa. Let's see who wants to enrich in themselves. And those who come, you end the year stinky rich. Amen. It's very simple. You will not have faith to prosper if we do not make a series of prosperity. Period. There will not be healing if we do not speak on healing. Period. Amen. Be it 10 come. You'll agree with me. I know more will come, but I'm just playing here between you and I. But the 10 that come at the end of the year, when the other brother that didn't come says, hey, can I borrow? No, you didn't come? Frick off. Huh? No, we have to make a list. I mean, no. He who's going to come will learn. If he wants to, he will prosper. You know what? Faith comes by hearing by the word of God. I invested, I used months to teach you on the grace of God, that everything was done. Now I will teach you how to respond by faith. And when you combine those two spiritual forces, you have nothing else but to prosper and heal. And even with that, you prosper. We reach the end of the year, all broke. I don't know what I'm going to do with you. I don't know what I'm going to do with you. I don't know. I'm going to have to go to your place too. To your place. I'm going to pray in the spirit and fast until you get rid of all those spirits of unbelief. You're going to have to do something. If you end the year broke, all broke and full of debt and worried, I don't know what I'm going to do with you. So what do I do, Lord? I'm go to their place. I'm going to stand myself 3 days. 3 days. Amen. You're going to shower. 3 days in fasting and prayer and praying in the spirit. The other day, I was on the road praying hours. It didn't stop. Glory to God. I take advantage when I have to travel on the road here in Douglas, you know, it doesn't matter. You have to go out on the road, at least reaching Tucson, and you use an airplane at least. I take advantage. I'm praying in the spirit. Amen. I make my own atmosphere there. One day a sister told me, oh, I don't like to travel by myself because then I feel like the devil's next to me and I get nervous. Glory to God. This is because you don't understand who you are in Christ. You don't understand your identity in Christ, because if you understand your identity, I'll tell you something. You know what's going to happen? If you understand that identity, glory to God, you change the atmosphere. You change it immediately. Amen. But you have to have that assurance. Yeah, even if the devil directed praise and worship, I'd go up there and start praying in other tongues, and I'd start speaking blessing, and the atmosphere would change. But you need to have that confidence. Oh, I get nervous. Yeah, because you speak it. Hallelujah. Gonna have dinner, love? Yes, okay. And my biggest, oh, you spoke so tough, my love. I'm not gonna give you dinner. Go to sleep. That's not true. She's never done that. Amen. Oh, Sister Nubia. Alright, walk more in love with your husband or something. No. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. What do we do, love? That's it. Oh, that's it? You're not gonna talk? No? Okay. She said no. That's it, because you... You went over time. Stand on your feet. I'm going to pray.
Lord, we love you. We give you thanks. Wow. Glory for your word. Thank you for your word, your truth. Thank you for the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Ooh, thank you, Lord, for your presence. Hallelujah. Thank you that you are good, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Maybe we didn't learn a lot, but we had a good time. Or we did learn. Maybe both. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, because you are with us. And we glorify you. And we give thanks because we're hungry for this word still. I don't know how many, but the majority of us do. We're hungry for your word and continue renewing our mind. We don't have that mentality of, I already know this. There's always different facets of learning over the same basics. And we give thanks, Lord. And we bless you. And we still believe. We believe in your word. From Genesis to the Apocalypse, we discern your word. We understand. We read the new pact, and we also read the old pact and read them with revelation and understand all things to have that freedom and not to go to one extreme toward the other, but stay with a balanced biblical message. And we give thanks, we give glory and honor. In the name of Jesus Christ, we bless you and we glorify you. Amen. Let's sow in the word that we listen to, and let's give and believe to the Lord that what you give is multiplied. Listen from the Lord and be a good administrator of what the Lord has given. There's something that's called people are impulsive. And attack it with patience. Brothers and sisters, every year there's new cars. There's new phones. Every year there's new things. Don't be impatient. You'll have it. It will come. And when you have it, you'll have more than enough. Don't compete with anyone. You believe the Lord in prosperity and healing and giving thanks to the Lord. And when you believe you receive it, spend time in praising the Lord, praising Him for what He has done.
We hope you have enjoyed today's teaching brought to you by Word of Faith Ministries. For more information about our ministry, contact us at 480-458-8618 or visit our website, mpfccc.org.